the church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Help us to rightly see us.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
I have to say, I'm seldom surprised when I read the news, but I was quite surprised yesterday in seeing the headline. First, I think I saw it on Reuters reporting that Dr. Leanna Wen had left the presidency of Planned Parenthood. Then, as the hours rolled by, it became evident that she had been dismissed, or perhaps we can even say fired. She says in a secret meeting that did not include her from the presidency. And we were just recently talking about her as the brand new president of Planned Parenthood. What can we learn about Planned Parenthood from the ouster of its new president, Dr. Leanna Wen? Joining us to answer that question on this Wednesday afternoon, Carol Tobias. She's president of National Right to Life, based in Washington, D.C. Carol, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
What should we learn from the very sudden ouster of Leanna Wen from the presidency of Planned Parenthood?
Well, Dr. Wen came into Planned Parenthood having served as the health commissioner for the city of Baltimore, and she probably thought that she could promote this organization as a group that really is trying to help women and provide health care. She quickly found out that they weren't interested in anything but abortion, and that she admits that's why she's out.
So how do you read the tea leaves here? It's not as though the organization has undergone some sort of fundamental change in the last 6 or 8 months. How do you read the tea leaves with regard to what Planned Parenthood wants to do in the future?
Well, Cecile Richards was the president for 10 years, the daughter of former Texas Governor Ann Richards, and she was very influential. People opened their pocketbooks for her. I mean, wealthy people are all over the country knew who she was, and she could get meetings with them. She was very influential in the Democratic Party, and she turned Planned Parenthood into quite a political giant. Dr. Wen came in, and in her letter, she said, you know, when I took this position, I wanted to advocate for a broad range of public health policies. But then she says it became clear that the board of Planned Parenthood wanted to double down on abortion as their top priority. I don't think we're going to see any change. I would say her tenure as president, because it was so short, was just a minor blip on the radar. They've been a political animal, and that's where they want to stay and continue.
And yet we are constantly told that abortion is only 3% of their business. We're told that they are not just there for abortion. It's one of many, many services that they want to provide for women. Planned Parenthood itself has been adamant, especially in the last 5 years or so, that they're not just about abortion. How do we rectify these two things?
Well, I think that's just some very good doublespeak on their part. They obviously are in the abortion business. They are the largest abortion provider in the country, killing more than 300,000 unborn children every year. And they got rid of their president because she wanted to expand their services to provide different kinds of health care to women. And they said, you're not following our mold, so she's out. So regardless of what they say about abortion only being 3% of their business and that they offer all these other services, Planned Parenthood is abortion.
The critics will say, well, of course, the board may be overreacting, but they're reacting for a good reason because, of course, Roe v. Wade is now on the chopping block, and that's why they're doubling down, as Leanna Wen says, doubling down on abortion. What's your reaction to that?
That could be very true. This came shortly after we saw the Ninth Circuit uphold the Title X regulations, so it's possible that Planned Parenthood is going to lose about $60 million in taxpayer funds, and they probably just thought they need someone that's going to be tougher, more involved in politics and fundraising than their current president.
So do you expect them to return, in president-wise, to the Cecile Richards mold of a president?
Yes. They have an acting president now who is going to step in, but they've already said they are not going to really do much searching or selecting of a new president until the end of next year. So the person that they have, Alexis McGill Johnson, is going to serve as acting president through the 2020 elections. And she does already have a political background. So they're very definite on what they want.
Talk a little bit about what you mentioned earlier, and that is Planned Parenthood as a political powerhouse. And of course, that's easily understood in terms of just how Planned Parenthood spends its money. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, Planned Parenthood is a large donor and a large influential factor in the Democratic Party. Just a few weeks ago, they had a candidate forum in South Carolina where practically every Democratic candidate showed up to pledge allegiance to the Planned Parenthood agenda. You know, not a lot of groups would be able to pull that many candidates in, but they're all standing up and raising their hand, saying no limits on abortion, and you can bet if any of them is elected president next year, Title X funding will be reverted back to Planned Parenthood and, you know, their funding. The Hyde Amendment will be gone, and Planned Parenthood will be able to get taxpayer funding for abortions. They've got their grip on the Democratic Party, and that's not going to change anytime soon.
This kind of circular path of the money that Planned Parenthood, up until this recent decision to reinstate the rule on Title X, we'll just discuss in a minute here, getting, what, $500 million a year from U.S. taxpayers, federal dollars, and then turning around and putting that money back into the coffers of political proponents of
That's exactly
abortion.
What they're doing. That's what is happening. Taxpayers are giving Planned Parenthood money for, you know, so-called services through Medicaid, and then they turn around and make huge contributions to pro-abortion, mostly Democratic candidates, and the cycle just keeps on going.
Do you think this is, at least in part, why we've watched someone like, say, candidate Joe Biden do some real switching of his ideas and his beliefs because he thinks he might need Planned Parenthood's money in the near future?
Oh, definitely. I mean, when I was growing up, I knew a lot of pro-life Democrats. And gradually over the years, it became clear that they were not welcome in the party. You will not see pro-life candidates getting support from the Democratic Party in any large measure. You know, we've got like maybe 3 pro-life Democrats in Congress, where in the past years it used to be 40, 50, 60. Unfortunately, the abortion mentality, the pro-abortion mentality, has just taken over in the party. And yes, Joe Biden knew that if he had any shot of getting the nomination and then going on to win the election, he needed that abortion money coming from the pro-abortion groups and the leadership of the Democratic Party.
So let's talk about Title X. What had happened to Title X under the previous presidential administration, the Obama administration, and what was recently changed by the Trump administration?
Well, the Title X Family Planning Funds actually goes back to 1970 when it was created, before Roe v. Wade, and it was to set aside funding or to appropriate funding for family planning programs. There was a statute in there that said none of the funds appropriated for Title X may be used in programs where abortion is a method of family planning. When you get, you know, of course, Roe v. Wade came along, the Title X family planning funds were being given out, but it was going to pretty much anybody that was offering family planning, even if they did abortions. So President Reagan, towards the end of his second term, said, we're going to clarify, if you get Title X funds, you cannot counsel or refer for abortions, and you can't have an abortion facility that is also getting Title X funds for family planning. except his rules were challenged. It went through the court system, and it wasn't until 1991 that the Supreme Court said, yes, that rule actually does fit under the statute under which Title X was originated. Well, Bill Clinton was elected the next year, and he wiped out what Reagan had done in his rule. So we've been going through now with Title X funds, going to agencies or organizations like Planned Parenthood, their facilities, until now. The Trump administration said we are going to reinstate the Reagan Title X regulations. You cannot refer for abortion. If you are receiving Title X funds, you cannot be in the same location as a facility that is performing abortions. Your funds have to be kept separate, both physically and financially. You know, so he just put back into effect what Reagan had done, and the Ninth Circuit has now, and this is the Ninth Circuit on the West Coast, which is usually pretty bad, they said, since the Supreme Court already upheld these rules in 1991, we think there's a very good chance that they would uphold them again. So they struck down some injunctions that had been put in place by federal judges, and the administration is now going ahead with the rule.
And you say that puts a dent in Planned Parenthood's cash flow, doesn't it?
I have seen estimates that as much as $60 million will be withheld from Planned Parenthood. Now, Planned Parenthood could take the money, and they could say, okay, we will set up a separate office that is going to deal with family planning and contraceptives, but they would not be able to refer them to another abortion facility. They would not be able to perform abortions in that spot. So Planned Parenthood, as well as some of the states like California, Washington, Maine, are saying abortion is more important, so we are just not going to accept the family planning funds. So again, the priority of killing unborn children is taking precedence over anything else that they might want to do.
Finally then, with about 30 seconds, how important is it, in one way or the other, withdraw federal funding from Planned Parenthood, even if we know that in the future it may be restored? Why is that so important?
It puts a stigma on the organization and what they are doing. People have to look at that and say, well, something that they are doing is controversial, something they are doing people object to. So we are making a statement that what they are doing when they kill unborn children is wrong, and we do not want our government subsidizing it or supporting it in any fashion. And that just puts kind of like a black mark on them that really does impact their fundraising and their overall social acceptability.
Carol Tobias is president of National Right to Life, based in Washington, D.C. You can find out more about their work at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Carol, thanks.
You're welcome.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll get a review of the movie Spider-Man Far From Home from Pastor Ted Geese. It's our weekly media coverage of religion feature with syndicated columnist Terry Mattingly. And we'll discuss Jesus' words in Luke chapter 6 and Matthew 7, "Judge not, lest ye be judged," with Dr. Peter Scare. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Wildwood, Missouri is a proud sponsor of Issues Etc. And if you enjoy the relevant, Christ-centered teachings presented on this program, then you should come and join us at St. Paul's on Sundays at 9 a.m., where you will hear sermons that proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins, and enjoy in-depth Bible studies to help us grow as disciples. For more information, check us out at stpaullutheranwildwood.org.
Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer, and on the third day rise from the dead.
Morning Chapel from Cramer Chapel.
And that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations.
Live weekday mornings at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.